faith. It's been said that faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. Folks, life has many ups and downs, times of celebrations, times of mourning, times that are easy and times that are hard. You know, God is looking to make us men and women of mighty faith, faith that will not be shifted, altered, lessened, no matter the vast changes around us or the circumstances we are facing or the moods we will have to wrestle with. God wants to grow a faith in us that will cling to the Lord Jesus at all times, in all circumstances, in all emotional moods, for a steadfast, persevering faith to be on display in our lives. Last week in part 3 of a sermon in Hebrews 11 entitled Faith on Display, we talked about messy lives, marvelous faith. We discussed how actions of faith aren't for perfect people, they're not for perfect circumstances. How opportunities to display our faith are often birthed in the most unexpected ways and in chaotic situations. The call to display our faith is not reserved for Christian superheroes. They're not reserved for those who have never tasted defeat, never endured hardship, or faced discouragement, or encountered hopelessness or despair, or have been the target of attacks, or have had to stare at the face of bad news and stormy waves. See, faith, putting our trust in God and stepping into action, is not reserved for an elite super Christian crowd. You know, it's a calling for all Christians to display. Faith is not about our powers. It's about responding to God and His mighty power, His faithfulness to us. The names we read about in this chapter are those who all displayed a mighty faith while understanding the challenges of pain, sorrow, deep loss, relational turmoil, challenging odds. And these are people who also stumbled. They had rough days. But folks, they didn't give up. They persisted in looking to God for the path ahead. They continued to trust God. They believed upon His plans, and they displayed their faith in Him. Now, we already talked about Abraham's less-than-perfect life, how he came to display marvelous faith, even though he did take a fleshly detour through Hagar. But he knew God would be faithful to His promise, even if God had to raise Isaac from the dead. We then talked about Isaac's life and his desire to favor Esau, how he eventually came to receive God's correction, and he believed that Jacob's line would be blessed, and he fully counted upon God's plans above his own plans. Remember, he wanted to bless Esau instead. We talked about Jacob's long-term relational blowout with his brother Esau and his deception in gaining Isaac's blessing and that he had traded with Esau for a bowl of stew. But we also talked about how Jacob came to lean on his staff, how he came to worship the Lord and express his faith as he now, at the end of his life, he blessed Joseph's line and he believed that God would fulfill the promise and that the Messiah would come from Jacob's line. We also talked about Joseph's absolutely chaotic family life, all the things that happened to him as he maintained faith in God through it all. He believed in God's good plans. He believed in God's eternal promises above all else. Yes, we are showing mighty examples of faith on display in the midst of messy, messy lives. You know, God is bigger than all we will ever face, and those in Hebrews chapter 11 who put their trust in Him and who stepped out into actions were used to shine forth a marvelous, marvelous faith. You know, this still applies today. Those found trusting the Lord even through pain, through messy times, through brokenness, they will shine forth a powerful faith that will result in God's glory. Now this morning, as we continue in our chapter, I pray that you and I will once again be encouraged to put our trust in the Lord, to step out and to display our faith as we trust in the Lord Jesus. It's been said, faith is like muscle, which grows stronger and stronger with use, rather than rubber, which weakens when stretched. As we continue with part four of Faith on Display, let's work those faith muscles. Let's join together as a church family. Let's be strengthened in our faith this morning. Judah, can you come read our next verses in Hebrews 11?
By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He preserved because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days.
Let's take our first point this morning. Faith is displayed mightily to us in the life of Moses. Let's learn and apply the following powerful lessons to our lives now. So 1A, choose faith over fear. In verse 23, we read that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. Well, why? Well, according to the book of Exodus, Pharaoh, or the king of Egypt, figured that one day the Israelites would be too large in numbers and therefore pose a threat to his kingdom. And so he made them slaves and he ordered that all the newborn babies be killed. So God's people are promised blessing from God, and yet we note here that they still became slaves. They became the targets of murder, and they were certainly very real targets. Folks, don't think that God's blessed path means that you will be spared from hardships, because that is the wrong idea about blessing. It's also a very limited earthly view. For Jesus promised trouble for Christians, while also promising his available peace upon us through it all. See, fear is a very relevant topic because it is a threat to our faith. And when we come to biblically understand that we will not be spared from hardships and challenges, we begin to understand faith in a whole new perspective. Now, you can imagine, or at least we can imagining, the horror and the very real fear amidst these Israelite families, especially for those with baby boys. You know, it's sickening to think about such madness and wicked murder, isn't it? Babies are so precious. On that note, I'm thankful that we just recently displayed this action and truth as a church family, as you all help donate funds to the local pregnancy center for their practical needs and their pro-life counseling support. So yes, fear would have been a predominant emotion at work in this. Again, as you can imagine, the terror of such plans to kill these babies. But folks, look already at the faith being displayed by Moses' parents. In the most naturally fearful circumstances, their faith did not give way to any such fear. We read in verse 23, they were not afraid of the king's edicts. See, Moses' parents were in a death or life situation, and their faith was so powerful that they didn't succumb to any natural fears. Rather, they leaned upon a fearless trust in God. Furthermore, as the king gave evil instructions to eradicate these babies, they took their faith beyond their mental convictions into real action steps as they now secretly protected innocent life. You know, as a real life history lesson this morning, many courageous people did the same thing when the Jews were hidden during Hitler's reign. They too displayed a mighty, God-honoring faith by protecting innocent lives from being snuffed out by evil dictators. They put their own lives on the line. They actively opposed the plans of Satan's murderous work. Folks, Moses' parents had every reason to be naturally fearful, but they did not succumb to their fears. They rather displayed a courageous faith, believing that God had a plan for Moses. And they did it right in the most stressful and dangerous of times. You know, faith that will mightily please God is a faith that takes greater priority than your fears. See, simply put, faith will lead us into taking action, while faithlessness leads us into actionless fears. Yes, faith will enable us to move forward, while fear will cause us to shrink back. See, there's always a response that takes place when we come to a crossroads. When we have a decision to make or a path to take, there is always a decision that is made. Hey, faith and fear never leads to a neutral response. Not ever. A response will always be made to go a certain direction. We either will step out in courage and obedience, regardless of our fears, or we will shrink back, perhaps become cowardice, maybe even disobedient to God's plans. Again, don't ever think that there is a middle ground, that somehow there is an alternate third path that we can take. Because as God speaks and leads us forward, we are either responding in faith or we are choosing disobedience. We are giving way to often nice-sounding excuses, perhaps to cover up our fear or our faithlessness, or to just rationalize plain disobedience. Courage, right in the face of fear, is the teammate of faith. Just like fear is the teammate of faithlessness. Which one does God find in my life? Which one will I feed on today? Which one will I respond to? Remember, if you don't pick faith, then by default, we will fall back into faithlessness. Again, there's no middle ground. There's no third option. Folks, choose faith over fear because it pleases God. It will make your life also impact others for God's glory. Again, whenever you step out in faith and trust God above your natural fears, it always pleases Him. And sometimes such faith may even cause your fears to just dissipate, like it did for Moses' parents, because you're no longer looking at the intense problems or the horrible news. You're rather focused on the mighty solution. You're looking now at our faithful and promise-keeping God. Moses' parents were so filled with faith in believing that God was sovereign, that God had a faithful plan, that it allowed them to be at rest and to not fear in the most challenging and naturally fearful times. So Moses was hidden by a river, presumably the Nile. He was hidden in a basket by tall reeds. Folks, do you know or do you remember how these baby boys, according to Pharaoh's instructions in Exodus 1:22, do you remember how they were to be killed? Right. They were to be drowned. So here's Moses' mother, Jochebed, who now puts him right next to water. The very source of natural fears and the very chosen instrument of death by Pharaoh. She puts him right by water. And she trusts God, and she is courageously bold in faith. Now, we all know what happened, and that God had a plan as the Pharaoh's daughter finds the baby and adopts Moses, and then he grows up with the Egyptian royal family. Again, it doesn't quite hold the same wow factor looking at this from a past perspective. But what a mighty display of faith that Moses' parents displayed. Choosing faith over fear. To not shrink back nor walk in fears or be intimidated because we trust God. Choosing faith over fear will lead us to be used for God's mighty purposes. Let's look at point 1b. Faith chooses God's path over all else. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, Moses could have just enjoyed the opulent life, all his fancy riches and his earthly blessings, just like Joseph could have had his bones stay in Egypt and be remembered as the one who saved them from starvation. But for the sake of God's plans, for the sake of the benefit of God's people, Moses chosen faith, just like Joseph did, to set aside all that he had, and he refused to be known as the Pharaoh's daughter. Actually, he went another step, and in faith, he chose to openly identify as the people of God and become mistreated. See, it would have been noble just to be like, you know what, I refuse to be elevated like that. That would have been like, wow, that's pretty impressive. He went beyond that, and he says, no, not only that, I will specifically choose to identify with the people of God who are slaves and are persecuted and who are hated. Wow. Incredible. Folks, do we hear this? Moses chose, again, to identify as belonging to God, even though it signed him up to guaranteed persecution. Now, he was the, for all intents and purposes, he was the daughter or the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He was already signed up for luxuries and wealth and the easy life. He gave it up. He tossed it aside, which signed him to guaranteed persecution. How many of us are so set on going God's directions that we will openly welcome hardships and problems because we will not run after all the wrong focuses of the world? That we will sign ourselves up to identify with God and to face hardship and persecution and challenges. See, faith always says, I will openly take God's path instead of following my own natural and earthly inclinations. Faith will take the hard path that is approved by God instead of the easy path that is approved by mankind and our own flesh. Faith will do what is right rather than what is popular. Faith will honor God instead of trying to make a name for myself. Faith will identify with those who are innocent and being mistreated rather than enjoy the cheap fellowship or insincerity of those who are influential or powerful or harming others like Pharaoh. In faith, may we learn from Moses and take the right path and not the easy path. Moses gave up his own rights. He gave up lavish treatment to stand up for God's people and to therefore identify with God's plans. Wow, what mighty faith we find here. See, we see that our Lord Jesus had the same spirit. He gave up his right to be worshipped, and rather he became a servant who endured and suffered a gruesome death in order to what? To identify with mankind and become our promised sin offering. Verse 26 then says, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. One commentary makes some powerful notes. I quote, Moses showed faith when he let God chart his destiny instead of allowing Pharaoh or raw ambition to do it. Moses chose to suffer affliction because he wanted to go God's way, even though this choice had big consequences. In faith, Moses wanted to please God, even if it caused hardship and persecution for himself, because he understood the temporary aspect of earthly life and the fading and non-lasting pleasures of sin. Another quote I read speaks forth this. Moses probably didn't know it at the time, but the persecution he suffered for his choice of serving God and his people put him in the company of Jesus, who suffered to set men free. End of quote. Wow. Folks, such faith in action we see both in the life of Moses' parents, who chose faith over fear, and in the life of Moses, who chose faith over fame, over freedom, and over fortune. Moses chose faith above all else. We all know how things unfolded for Moses and how that choice to go God's way certainly did have big consequences, didn't it? But God was pleased with Moses' faith. Moses was concerned more about God's view of him rather than what mankind would say about him. And he is such a wonderful example for us. Now, Moses, just like others before him, also didn't have a perfect life. He made some mistakes. He's not a superhero whose faith we could never possibly express ourselves. He took some situations into his own hands. He caused some strife. But nonetheless, he always came back to displaying a firm faith in God, and his life serves as a wonderful example to us. Now, it's not an example for us to worship. Folks, it's an example for us to learn from and to now follow as we make those same faith steps. Will you consider your faith in Jesus as more valuable than all else? Moses, just like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob, like Joseph, he chose faith above all else, but yet, you know what? When he had those low moments, he got back up. He never, ever gave up. All the names we read about in Hebrews 11 are awesome examples of powerful faith on display in action. They are for us to learn from and to now follow with the same trust. See, we're not to get to this chapter and go, wow, let's put a little section here in a corner of our stage and let's put all these names up there and we will just come each week and we'll just worship those examples and we'll just worship those people. No, they were given to us. Why? Because these are very normal, ordinary people with brokenness and challenges and messy lives. And yet here's the power of God as they called upon him, as they did not give up in their faith. They're there for us as examples to say, hey, let's follow the example. Let's not worship the person. Let's worship the God they served. And now let's you and I step out in faith. Let's respond the way they did. There are examples for us to say, hey, if they could be there facing that and they trusted God, guess what? There's good news for you and I. Let's do the same. Faith is worth more than all the riches in the world. It's worth more than fame. It's worth more than earthly comforts. It's worth more than a job promotion. It's worth more than a drama-free life. It's worth more than all the temporary pursuits of sin. It's more valuable than all else. Look at point 1C. Faith will enable us to persevere. Now Moses, after killing an Egyptian who was mistreating an Israelite, he ran away to Midian in a time of fear and faithlessness. But this is where he encountered the angel of the Lord in a burning bush on Mount Horeb. God sent Moses back to Egypt, and Moses heeded God's path for him and demanded the release of the Israelites from slavery. We all know this didn't go well. This is the point in history where the Pharaoh faced the 10 plagues, and eventually God led the Israelites miraculously through the Red Sea, and then they received the 10 commandments on Mount Sinai afterwards. Now we read more details about Moses' faith in verse 27 and 28, and we learn these awesome things. We read that he didn't fear the king's anger. Hey, just like Mom, who trusted God over fearing Pharaoh, so did Moses, her son. Again, on repeat here is that our fears are such powerful enemies of faith, but yet again we learn that when fear is faced to stand up and to look at faith, then faith always wins. Furthermore, we are told that Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. See, Moses saw the real dangers before him. He faced real people and even an entire army who were working together to stop him, to thwart God's plans. But Moses was looking at who? Hey, who was Moses looking at? Well, he wasn't looking at his enemies. He wasn't looking at the challenges. He wasn't looking at the unknowns of tomorrow or the threats or those complaining that they just wanted to be comfortable. They didn't want to even leave Egypt. He wasn't looking at those who were lacking faith for the new and intimidating territory that God was leading them to walk out. No, Moses was looking at, quote, him who is invisible. And you know what? As he did that, he persevered. Perhaps that's a big hint for us, isn't it? You want to know how to persevere? Well, consider whom your eyes are looking at then. You're looking at him who is invisible and yet so clearly is the one in charge of the universe? Or are you looking at yourself? Or are you looking at the king? Or are you looking at an enemy? Or are you looking at anybody other than God? Folks, mighty men and women of the faith, they will look at God. Don't be surprised then when these men and women of faith, when they persevere. Because you know what? The link is already there. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus, and you look at him who is invisible, you're going to persevere. We find so much strength just by choosing where to look. And we save ourselves a lot of hardship, unnecessary hardship, by redirecting our eyes and saying, no, I'm not going to look over at the faithlessness. No, I'm not going to look at the enemies. No, I'm not going to look at those who are, you know, complaining a lot of time. I'm going to look at the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to persevere in faith because he's going to strengthen me. Let's look at point 1D. Faith says, it might look over, but it's far from over. Let's focus now on God's abilities. Now, we aren't done with Moses yet and his awesome lessons of faith for us. In verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. You know why this is so amazingly powerful and such a great lesson for us? Because when everything your eyes see right before you in the natural realm and everything your mind comprehends, when it all testifies to the impossibilities and it collectively says, that's it, you're done. We have come to the end of the road and this is over and we have been overcome and now there's no way forward. Well, you know what faith says? He says, watch this. Let's consider God's hands now. This isn't over. We are not hopeless. God can make a path for us through faith. Let's trust him. Isaiah 43:19 speaks about the power of God to do what we cannot do and how he makes a path where there appears to be no path to move forward. We read, again, Isaiah 43:19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Hey, God is the giver of new life. He is the one who makes new paths for his people. He is the one who provides a spring of life out of what may appear to just come out of thin air. He is the one who can make a miraculous stream in a desolate wasteland. Folks, it's faithlessness that says, I hear that you are telling me that the end of the road has come. My enemies have surrounded me. I'm going to drown now in the sea. I am left for dead. And I guess it's over. I guess all the previous faith tests, all the plagues, all the challenges and persecutions, all the drama, all the pain, all the big consequences, they all lead now to this big roadblock of doom. But faith says this, I refuse to believe that. My God is bigger. My God is with me. My God has a plan. My God has all I will need for the path that is still yet ahead. So I will display my faith. I will rise in courage. I will give way to hope. I will be anticipating God's next plans yet ahead for me until the very day he takes me home. Folks, Moses' life at that Red Sea, when it came to these final moments, it teaches us the big lesson that when it's all as good as over, it's not over yet. In faith, God has a plan, and there is much more to come through the mightiness of God. Faith never gives up, no matter what. See, when the whole world was going to hell in a handbasket, and it was left now to Noah, a total of eight people, he didn't look around and go, oh, there's only eight of us here. Well, I guess, whatever. I guess we just throw in the towel. No, he goes, no, we're going to trust God. God has plans for us. He has plans for you that we can take to the bank and we can cash it in advance in faith. Let's look at point 1E. Faith is imperative for us to be moving towards God's plans. Now, I can't stress it enough that it wasn't courage that honored God. Now, courage can honor God. I'm not suggesting that. But it wasn't courage that was the foundation for what honored God. It was faith. Now, courage, we've already discussed, courage is a teammate of faith. Certainly is helpful. But it's never a replacement of faith. Courage is not a replacement of faith. It's a teammate of faith. See, be mindful that the Egyptians, they went right after the Israelites, right across the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. They undoubtedly had courage. They were looking at that too and going, oh my goodness, what just happened to the Red Sea? And there goes the Israelite. Oh, my goodness. Well, we have courage too. And they chased after them. They followed right after God's people. They displayed tremendous passion, courage, and intensity in their mission. But they were not displaying God-honoring faith. Actually, considering the attitudes we find of some Israelites when they get to the other side, then it's likely that a bunch of them crossed that Red Sea much differently than even those Egyptians tried. On the other side, we see the reluctancy, how some felt pushed, some felt even coerced to move towards a new territory, a new direction. They were complaining quickly on their side. We didn't want to go this way. We want to go back to Egypt. The intensity and passion of the masses to move on to the promised land and towards God's next steps was likely underwhelming in Israel, among the Israelites, especially compared to the same emotion and commitment and passion of the Egyptian army following after them and who ended up perishing. So while those Egyptians showed courage, they lacked what actually mattered, a God-honoring faith, a dependence upon the true God. Now, the Israelites knew, as also proven through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they knew that God's hand was upon them. They did have that faith. They had the faith that God had chosen them, that he would fulfill his plans, that he would make good on his promise, and that he would indeed send a Savior. They believed in faith upon the coming Messiah through the ancestral line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And faith in God, regardless of their attitudes at times, is what led the Israelites to believe that God was God no matter what, that his plans could not be overpowered by some king, even Pharaoh himself or his earthly army. Folks, it also took faith among the Israelites to believe that the blood of a lamb on the doorpost of their homes during that first Passover, that would save their house from terror and from the angel of death. Again, a symbolic picture of Jesus who would shed his blood to save us from death and to gift us new eternal life in heaven. Folks, God is still looking for men and women to display their faith, to be used for his mighty plans and purposes. The end is not here yet. Do you believe that? The end is not here? Do you believe that we're not on pause? That this day is not just a filler, that tomorrow, if the Lord has not returned yet, is not just another filler day. To move towards his big plans yet ahead, will we have the evidence of faith here among us? Firmly believing upon the plans and power of our Lord. Well, may the Lord bless us with responses of faith towards him, with attitudes that are also pleasing to him. Not grumpy, not slow to be moved towards God's plans, but happy, ready to serve, ready to worship, ready to anticipate Jesus building his church. See, faith beholds that deep conviction that Jesus can be counted upon, that he will be found faithful to his church, that he loves his bride. Let's look at point two. Today's faith is what really matters. Walk forward now in a confident anticipation. You know, it's easy for us to be encouraged by someone else's faith rather than to be tested or to have to express our own faith right now. It's easy for us to receive the encouragement this morning of these testimonies we see in Hebrews 11. It's a lot more difficult to say, well, now what God wants to do that same testimony in your life. And we go, oh, that's a little more challenging. It's also easier to just be complacent and to count upon the faith that we have shown in the past. All those times we testify of how God came through for us. It's easy to do that rather than to be living out faith right now today in the very midst of unfinished lives that we each have. Sure, we all love to hear about these faith stories after they have happened. But let me remind us that you and I are currently an incomplete faith story of our own. God is calling you, he is calling me to trust him, to display a mighty faith in him today in your life. So let me share some with you. Verse 29 is all about the Israelites relying on their faith as they passed through the Red Sea and as they came to experience God's next steps for them as the Egyptians were swept into the sea and drowned. Now, interesting that just as Pharaoh had planned for Moses to drown years ago, now the Egyptians drown. The irony is pretty incredible. So that's verse 29. But then verse 30 immediately starts talking about Joshua and the man of faith he was. Now, this chapter, God has provided for us to talk about the mighty faith we see. This chapter, Hebrews 11, is about exhorting us to take heed of such faith. So, there is something missing, though, between these stories. Not something missing in God's Word, I'm not suggesting that. But between these verses, there's a whole entire history that we read about in the Bible. A history that is between verse 29 and verse 30 that is not supposed to be included in this particular chapter because that's not what the focus of this chapter is, but certainly it is rightfully found in Scripture and it's a part of Israel's history. So as verse 30 gives us the highly appropriate encouragement in regards to Joshua's faith, we all know what happened on the other side. Between the time when Moses was leading the Israelites and when Joshua took over leadership, we all know it. See, now let me remind you, on the other side of that Red Sea, after the miraculous power of God was so clearly shown in Egypt, there was 40 years of wandering in the desert. Now the people began to complain. They didn't want change. They were lacking fresh faith for today. They were getting kind of sick of Moses' leadership. And they ended up walking in circles for 4 decades while an entire generation perished. Now, they did not perish in the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea only to now perish in the desert. It would then be their children who would embrace faith once again and walk out the next steps in God's plans. Folks, Moses died on Mount Nebo at the age of 120, right next to the Promised Land. Why didn't this generation that had gone through so much, had seen the mighty hand of God in those 10 plagues, his protection over them, his faithfulness to them. They had received the 10 commandments. They had the miraculous provisions of God upon them. They had come right next to the Promised Land. Why did they not enter it? One word. They had fallen into faithlessness, bred out of rebellion in their heart. See, this chapter is all about faith. We are also silently reminded, just in the transition between verse 29 and 30, we are silently reminded that we can waste a whole lot of time. We can lose an entire generation worth of opportunity, and we can be found as faithless all because we refuse to keep walking in faith for today. We'd rather be comfortable. We'd rather not have change. We'd rather not have to face anything new. And we can become stuck walking in circles. You know, it's actually very easy to fall into this trap, the trap of not wanting change, the trap of finding it easier to complain, easier to go, oh, we're doomed, let's just give up. The trap of being resistant to stepping up. You know, faith is a word that applies to today, each and every day. Let's be mindful today that none of us can live off of yesterday's faith. The faith responses of yesterday, they expired when you woke up this morning. Now, I don't say that to discourage us, because this is an encouragement. And it doesn't mean the faith responses of yesterday that God just tosses aside. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I am suggesting that it's about today. It's about your faith in Him today. It's about looking to Him today. And everything in the past, that's the past. The ways we did or didn't respond to God in faith last year, that was last year. The three ways we did or didn't respond to faith in God yesterday, all the faith we displayed yesterday, when we woke up this morning, that's expired. Now, to God's glory if we walked in faith. But that's not what we face now today. God gives us each a new days every morning to display a fresh faith in Him today. In the Israelites, they perished in the desert because they said no. It would be Joshua who would rise up in courageous faith. He would lead the next generation into the promised land. And speaking of such wonderful faith, Joshua circled Jericho, and he was not about to turn back. It was time for Israel, long time overdue actually, to step out of their comfort zones and to now face giants. Hey, who wants to face giants? Want to face those giants in your life? Some of us may say, I will absolutely face a physical Goliath much more than half of to go through what I'm going through right now. I know for a fact many of you would go, give me that physical 9-foot giant. I'll face him rather than have to face this. But folks, we will be required to face giants. You know that Jericho was known as what? You know Jericho's nickname? City of Giants. That's what it was called. Joshua stood up in bold faith, a faith greater than fears, greater than the fears that caused the spies to turn back in disobedience. And it was Joshua who said in his action steps, my God is bigger than those giants facing me. I will forge ahead. I will not give up. I will not turn back. I'm going to heed God's path at any cost. The Israelites then walked in circles around Jericho, being obedient to God's instructions, but not really knowing what was going to happen, not actually doing anything, essentially. They weren't really doing anything other than this one thing. They were displaying faith. They were just simply putting one foot ahead of the next. God said, hey, walk around that Jericho, the city of giants, for 7 days. So what did they do? They got up. One step of faith, and all it is, walk around and go, okay, God, we'll see what you can do. Put one step in front of the other. That's all you told me to do, and that's all I'm going to do, and I guess we'll see what happens. They put one foot in front of the other each day in a faith response to God. And then after 7 days, a number symbolic for completeness and perfection, it was God who would win the battle. He's the one who caused the walls of Jericho to fall as they shouted as loud as they could unto God's plans. So what did they do? One step at a time in faith, as they shouted praises to God and His power and faithfulness. So all they did was anticipate God's power and look for what God would do. Is that ringing a bell for us this morning? What would happen if our church congregation just walked forward in childlike faith, each day at a time, one foot in front of the other, focus on praising the Lord, and we just anticipated what God would do? I love thinking of this, probably the most powerful part for me this past week. I could not stop thinking of this. What walls would come down here? What giants would be overcome here? What mighty blessings and promises of God would we come to experience? And is there enough faith found here to not turn back? Is there enough faith to forge ahead each day? Is there enough faith to shout forth in advance that God is faithful and he has plans for us? Folks, does God find such faith here among us? Does he? Let's pray. Father, we exalt you in your holiness this morning. And Lord, I do pray that you will find faith, powerful, mighty faith among the men and women and children here that says, God, we believe that you love your children. We believe that you are committed to the building of Christ's church. God, we will trust you. We will wake up each day. We will put one foot in front of the other. We will look to you for all our needs, and we will proclaim that you have all the strength we need to face the giants, to tear down the walls, and to build your church for your glory. Lord, increase our faith, we pray. Amen.